Good morning. Welcome. It is good to be with you again today, and we're going to conclude our study today on power that makes possible. This is our 10th session, and I trust that it has been a blessing for you anywhere close to as much as it's been a blessing for me to study and do and have the Lord instruct, correct, and just guide me in some different directions. And today, I'm really excited about what we're going to be covering in our last session. Now, let me tell you, at the end, I'll talk a little bit more about what I think will come next for starting next week, probably into, if not through October, and then the last 2 months. I've received some direction from the Lord, asked him a few questions about it, and I believe he's got that established in my heart. So today, we're going to be talking about an invitation to come close. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with the power? And I think you're going to be very pleased at what we learned today, because I'm convinced it's going to help you and I, as we draw near to Him, be able to be in a position where He can manifest that power more and more through us. And the exciting part to me is even what we're going to be talking about next is going to build on this. And the final part, which I'm really excited about, will also tie into it. So we're not leaving this thought. We are talking about what we've been doing most all year, being more productive in His kingdom, doing those things that He wants us to do. So let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the Holy Spirit, that precious Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. So Holy Spirit, we say, have Your way today in this study. I ask You to have Your way in my life, and that people who are listening will open their heart and say the same thing, so that You can teach us today those things that You want us to know. We love You, Lord. We thank You for Your sacrifice, and we give You, Jesus, all our praise and all our glory. And it's in His name that we have prayed. Amen. So let me do a quick review here. Last week we talked about being at the end of my rope, and with being at the end of my rope, what came? His strength did. We actually talked before we started looking at scriptures, and we asked the question, have you just ever felt like that there's a point that you just can't take anymore? And that's what being at the end of the rope is. And we saw that that's not uncommon, because we see that Jesus even experienced a lot of the things that we experience. And I think this is how He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in Proverbs 17, verse 22, we see that this is something that we don't want to dwell in, because the scripture in New Living Translation says that a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And everything we're talking about is being strong in Him. So we know that's not where we want to be. So where do we turn? Well, it's our choice, and we saw that we need to look to Jesus, because we have a high priest, paraphrasing Hebrews 4:15, which can sympathize with what we've been through. He has experienced it, and so He has mercy, and He provides grace to us because of that. He's been tempted, just like we were, to have these same feelings and emotions. And we saw in Jude, the only chapter of Jude, the 24th verse, it says in the Passion Translation, "Now to the one with enough power to prevent you from stumbling." And that's what we do. That's what we have when we get to a point where we're either at the end of our rope and our strength has been sapped, or we realize going into it that I don't have the strength to do it. And so then, once we make that recognition, He's able, with that enough power, to keep us from stumbling. We looked at Paul. And Paul, having written most of the New Testament in the epistles, he said in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 10, I didn't think I was going to make it. And he said, it's like he's beyond his limits. And what I want us to see today is that we too can hit the end of that rope. And you say, well, that's not me. You haven't hit it yet, because we are no different, no better than Paul. So I think we need to understand that when we go through these things, we're experiencing things that others have. And then in the 9th verse, he actually says, I felt like I had a sentence of death in my flesh. But what did we see? We don't trust our flesh. We put our trust in the Lord, in our God. And that's how we are in a position then to do what Paul says in verse 10 is that we can look to him because he has delivered us, and you can testify of that. We know that he will deliver us, as Paul said, and he's confident that in this one time he's talking about now, he will deliver me. So past, present, and future, we don't look to ourselves, because this is where we don't have the strength to do it. We must rely on our Lord Jesus. Paul went beyond trusting himself, and that's what we must do also. We then looked at the account of the thorn in the flesh, where Paul said he was given this thorn in the flesh, and he sought the Lord thrice to have it removed. But what did we learn? So many have taken this as a physical example of, see, God didn't want to make Paul well, but we saw that's not the case at all. The word thorn in the flesh was an idiom that we saw. We saw three Old Testament scriptures that really talked about that. It talked about a thorn in the eyes, a thorn in the side. And then in the next verses of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, my grace, the Lord says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And people take that as just endure it. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying that he's in a position for the Spirit of grace to give us what we need to overcome and be an overcomer, even in that situation when it doesn't look at it. And that's why Paul says, most gladly, I'm going to glory in my weakness. Because what? In my weakness, I become strong. I like what the Passion Translation says, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. So, as I'm weak in myself, I'm what? Strong in him, strengthens in him. And we looked at some words that Jesus spoke in Matthew, the 11th chapter, where he said, come to me, all you who are heavy, weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And we talked about how he talks about, take my yoke. That when we feel like we can't go on is when we become yoked with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. And what happens? How do they train cattle? How do they teach cattle to plow? Well, they hook them up with a stronger one. So we are eternally hooked up with the one who is the Holy Spirit of strength, the Holy Spirit of power. And that's where our faith needs to rest. When we do that, and we're going to talk about rest actually in a moment, his yoke is what? Easy, and his burden is light. And so it is a time when he can strengthen us. And it's not just that his burden has no weight at all, but because we're strong, it appears as what? Light to us as we get strong in him. We looked at a number of verses, but particularly starting in Isaiah 25. And just think about this now. His goodness on display, his will for you and I. He says he's a defense for the helpless. That sounds like someone who's weak. A defense for the needy who is in distress. That also sounds like weak. But then he says, he's a refuge from the storm and a shade from the heat. So we have a covering with him. And that's really going to tie into what we're talking about today. So there's a place in him where this strength flows through us, and we see his desire to serve that strength up as a result of his goodness, his love for us. We closed by looking at Isaiah 40 last week. And in the first few verses we looked at, we really saw how strong God is and how big our God is. Thus, El Elyon, God Most High. And then we really focused on and said, all right, these verses in 28 through 31 really say that young men even grow weary. So it's not uncommon for man to grow weary. We are just naturally weak in this state as compared to God's power. But what did we see in verse 31? We're going to just quote it from Young's literal. Those expecting Jehovah, and that's what the word wait means. That word is translated hope. Joyful, confident expectation, we would say, of hope in the New Testament. Those expecting Jehovah pass to power. We move from our weak state to what? That state of being strengthened, being strong in him. So when we're weak, when we quit relying on our own strength, is when the Lord has the ability and the desire to make us strong. And those two are very, very important. So today I want to shift now and talk about, in our last session, session 10, an invitation to come close. And you can take that as, and say it like this, my invitation to come close. So last week, I closed by saying, if it's a cool fall day, and fall is definitely in the air here in Georgia, but it's not cool yet. But when that happens, we may build a fire on our back patio. And if it's really chilly, and I'm feeling a little bit of that cold, then what do I normally do? I draw closer to the source of the heat, the source of the power. I draw close to the fire. And that's the analogy that we're going to use to jump off and talk today. Because we're going to see that it has a similar relationship, that physical example that we just gave, to what we're going to be talking about today, an invitation to come close. So if we take that then, as physical can be evident of the spiritual, then what do I want to do? Don't turn to James 4:8, because we're not going to stay there, but just a moment. We're going to come back to it and go through this entire chapter, really beginning earlier than verse 8. But the first part of verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Now, I believe that's sound wisdom, just like we saw in this physical analogy that we gave. But let me just make this statement. I want to be close to the glory of His power. I want to be close, and this phrase is very intentional on my part, to the glory of His power. And this, so it's very purposeful, and that's what I believe the Lord wants to reveal to us today. So let's ask the question then, what does it mean to draw near to God? And where do we get our answer from? We get it from the Word of God. Now, if I said to you, how do you draw near to God? I can get a myriad of answers from, well, I just want to feel close to Him. But give me a scripture. And I think most of you would say Psalm 91, the first verse. And I think that's a great scripture for us to start with. So Psalm 91:1 would say, He who dwells in the shelter, or King James would say the secret place, of the Most High, that God with all that strength, will abide in the shadow, that covering. Remember we saw His desire and then how He covers us as well to protect us. In that covering of the Almighty. So, He who dwells, he who takes refuge, He who gets under the shade of His wing, as we saw in Isaiah 25, that is what He calls the shelter or the secret place, and that's where He tells us we need to dwell. So that's our goal, is to get into that place. And we're going to see how that makes us closer to Him. So to learn about this secret place then, let's look at Psalm 31, verse 20. Psalm 31, verse 20 reads this way. You do hide Him in the secret place, and then here's the explanation, of Thy presence. From the conspiracies of men, you do keep them secretly in a shelter. There's that word again. From the strife of tongues. So what is this secret place? It's in His presence. Now, we can be in His presence, or we can be in His presence. One of them, we may be very near. The other, not so near. And a verse just is rising up in me. It's in Isaiah, the first chapter, where it talks about being willing and obedient. And that word there, willing, means I'm so close to Him that when He breathes out, it's like He's breathing into me. That's where I want to be. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle, in the secret place of His tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. So where is this secret place? It's where He is dwelling. It's in His presence. And that's where we want to be. That's where I believe our invitation to draw close is. And let me just remind you, where is this tent or this tabernacle today? It's in you and I. But we're talking about getting to a point where we don't just acknowledge He's in us, but where we see manifestations of being in that presence. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but for me, sometimes I can learn more about what to do by examining what I shouldn't be doing, because I find that's what I'm going to get correction on most of the time. So let me ask this question. The kingdom is always increasing. And so if I've increased, and I'll just use my right hand for this, to a point where I've moved close to Him, and close is in this direction, to my left, to your right. If I'm at this point and I continue to increase, I'm going to do what? I'm going to continue to move in that direction. But if I get here and I stop moving close, then it almost appears that I've gone backwards, because His desire for me is to be where? Over here. So when we stand still sometime, I sense we're losing ground. Now, we're not comparing ourselves to each other, but we're looking at where Jesus wants us to be, how He wants us to be. So then let me ask the question. If we're not drawing close, what happens to us? It may appear then we're getting further and further away from where He wants us to be. Hebrews 3:12. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you with what He calls an evil, unbelieving heart. And then here's the phrase, in falling away from the living God. So if we're not increasing and we're not moving closer, and yet that's His expectation, it's almost like we are falling away. You see what I'm saying in this? And we get another clue about this too, because look what it's talking about. It says, lest there be in any of you an unbelieving heart. So what do we see in this? We get a clue that we are not talking about anything we do in this physical flesh to get closer to Him. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It is something we must deal with in our heart. So it's not physical. This is a spiritual drawing close. And I'd said earlier, if we want to see manifestations in the physical of His Spirit and power, meaning in the physical, then we need to move closer in what? In the spiritual part of it as well. So it's something we do with our heart. Now go with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And we're going to start here in verse 5. And as I went over this morning, the Lord gave me another reason why He showed me this verse that really excited me. In this chapter, He's talking to the Pharisees and He's telling them, you let your traditions get in front of what you really ought to be doing in the Word. And He's talking about how we honor our parents. Now, the word honor is key to this entire discussion, because you're going to move close and desire those things that you honor, those people, the person that you honor. So let's pick up here in verse 5. He says, but you say, correcting them, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine that might have been helped to you has been already given to God. Now in Mark's account, Mark uses the word korban. The word korban in the Hebrew is referring to a gift that was given at the temple. But do you know what the word in the Hebrew literally means? It means to draw near to give the gift. So even what He's saying here, even in the old covenant, the Lord, we see, desired us to come near, His people to come near. And that's even a reason He set up the opportunity to make a sacrifice, to make a gift to Him, so that they would have to come to the temple where His presence was. So we see even in this, the desire of the Lord to draw near. Now, they weren't doing it. They weren't doing it. They were doing it out of tradition. They were saying, well, we've already given it. Therefore, we can't honor you, father and mother, and help you. And the Lord is instructing them. Because verse 6 talks about, is he not to honor his father and mother? And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, and you've invalidated the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah not prophesy of you, saying, now listen to this closely, this people honors me with their lips. We may try to say the right thing, but their heart is far away from me. So what does he want near to him? Our heart. Now he goes on and talks a little bit more, but I think that covers what we need to from that time. The link here to honor is to do it with our heart. Not empty or vain words, but let it flow from our heart and let our heart, our spirit man, dominate our soulish realm so that our actions reflect our heart drawing close to him. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 2, the 17th verse, Paul is talking about not being able to be with them, and he makes this statement, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, so it means they're not there with them anymore, they've been removed, but look what he says, we're not in presence, but we may not be with you in presence, but that's not true in heart. You see that phrase, not in heart? He said, we endeavor to see you. Now, the New American Standard says we're away from you in presence, but not in spirit. Now, it's interesting because this word presence here literally means face to face. And so aren't we often told throughout Scripture, seek my face, seek me, my face, and you will find me? Yes, that's exactly. So do we seek his face then in a physical manner or in a spiritual manner? And I believe the Lord is just instructing us today and encouraging us to come close to him with our heart, with our love, with our affection, with our honor, with our reverence, the way we fear him. So when he's saying come close, a heart issue. Now let me give you a couple of other scriptures to just cement in our spirit today so that we can have faith that we can do this, what he says about the heart in a couple of other places. 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel has come to find the next king. And he's looked through all of David's father's sons, and David isn't there. Some good-looking ones are there. And look at what Samuel says, what the Lord says to Samuel when he seems to have not found it. He said, do not look at the appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. So he was looking at one of the ones he thought, this has got to be it. For God sees not as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at where? Our heart. And so his concern, even within this time of picking a king, was not with somebody who could look good like Saul did, but someone who had a what? A right heart. Had a heart after him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is another one that is a good one to remind ourselves. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support. How about if we say this way? That he might provide strength to, power to, those whose heart is completely his. Now, some translations will say perfect. Now, what do we know today? Because Jesus lived perfectly, took my sin, he's not going to condemn me when I just miss it. But he's looking for me to have a heart that I give totally to him. And what have we seen, begin to see, and about to look at even more, is that's a heart that has what? Drawn close to him. So now let's go back to James 4 and spend some time in this chapter. And we're going to look at a number of verses, and this is where we really need to see we're getting this invitation to come close, and we see how we do it. Again, remember, when I'm weak in myself, I'm strong in him. Now, we're going to start here in James 4 in verse 5 on our way through verse 10. And what I want to tell you is that on the surface, some of these verses may appear to be separate. In fact, they don't really belong. But each of them, every one of them, has a tie to the following one and some of them to two or three down. So let's start in verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture speaks of no purpose, as it says, and that's my introduction to this, he, the Lord, jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. So his spirit, which is precious to him, which he has placed in us, he is jealous about it. So what is that saying? He's going to be jealous about you and I. He wants us to do what? To spend time in relationship. He jealously desires that relationship. It's like he wants FaceTime with us. If I can use that physical analogy, and for those of you who have grandkids know how great that is to be able to see and talk with your children, and especially the grands, and for some of you, great-grandchildren. And I know we have someone who watches this who told me the other day that they had now become a great-great-grandmother. So glory to God. But this is what he wants, that close relationship, just like he was instructing the Pharisees. I want you to honor, have that close relationship, that desire to please your parents. So then we go to verse 6. And again, verse 6 is tying directly in to verse 5. It says, but he gives more grace, or New American Standard says, a greater grace. Now, how many of us would raise our hand and say, I want more grace? I think we all, in fact, we ought to have both hands up in a thanking, receiving position for that statement. And again, you may think this is separate, but look at what he's saying here. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. Now, what have we taught over and over about humility, about being humble? It's not being like the child that says, I do it my way, but it's being like what? The mature adult, the mature son, who is drawing near to the Father and saying, I'm going to do it your way, because my way isn't the best way. My way isn't the strong way. In my weakness, I am strong. That is what we have with humility. Saying, it's not about me and what I want to do and how I want to do it or my strength, but it's about you. And what do we get? More grace, more strength, more power, more responsibility in the kingdom. So you see the relationship then. And it's all because he desires this relationship with us, because he's placed his spirit in us. And so then we get to verse 7. And you think, well, it's changed again. Submit, therefore, to God. No, it hasn't changed a thing. What have we done? We've taken our thoughts, our will, our desires, and we've humbled ourselves and said, no, not my way, but your way, Lord. So it's just building on this. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what are we doing here? We begin to do things his way, the way he taught us to do. That you're going to see is, or we just seen really, it gives us more grace. It strengthens us. And therefore we are able then to resist the devil. And as we do that, he will flee. And the word literally means as in stark terror. He has no answer for the man who submits to the word of God in humility, because that man is getting more strength through more grace. And it just, and the more thankful we are, the more it just increases and grows. And then all that takes us down to verse 8, which again, everything is related here. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you see that submitting to him, humbling ourselves before him, is part of drawing near to him? Because it's what? It's that heart issue. So it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And as we draw near to him, as we're humbling ourselves, submitting to him, then we're receiving more of the power, and we're going to be able to take these things of the flesh and be dominated by our spirit, just as we talked in weeks prior. I mean, last week we talked about it, and the week before. Let our spirit man dominate us. Now, I want to pause here, because Many think, okay, if I don't move, God's not going to move. And I understand what you're thinking, but I want you to see something. I want you to realize that the Father has drawn near to us, and He did it first. So now we're getting near to Him. And as we get near to Him, He's cutting the distance down by what? Moving closer to us. So that this process that He's got us in is really going to expedite that close move from Him. It's not like He's saying, you got to get gooder and gooder and gooder. It's like He's saying, as you make a step, I'm coming closer. As you make another step, I'm coming closer. And so this is a lifetime pursuit. But we need to recognize the great progress we're making in this. So point I'm trying to make here is the Lord moved first. And I want us to see that, not just in my words, in our scripture. He took our sins, our poverty, our anxiety, the sickness and disease, the lack that came. Everything He took away so we don't have to go through it when He made that first move. Look at that. Go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. And we're going to start in the 11th verse, which reminds us that at one time we were called Gentiles, those who didn't have anything to do with God. We were uncircumcised, that the Hebrew children would have said, while they looked at themselves in great pride as being circumcised. And then verse 12 tells us our state. Remember. Now, that word is key to me. And this is one time I'm glad that the translators inserted it, because we tend to forget where we've come from. And when we don't forget that, we are so thankful that it just positions us to desire to draw closer, to nearer. So remember that at that time you were separate. So there's a word, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant. Now, those three words to me say, we weren't close. Do you see that? Separate from, excluded from, and strangers to the covenant. And look how we were, when we were strangers to those covenants of promise. Therefore, we had no hope, and we were without God. So we're not even near close to Him. But God. Oh, thank you for 13. But God, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly where? Far off, have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what He's saying here. He's saying, I brought you close, but I want you closer. And I've provided the way for you to get there. I'm jealous for you. Be humble. Don't do it in your own strength. Admit you're weak. I'll strengthen you. I'll draw you closer through more grace. And as we do that, we get closer. Guess what? As we get closer and closer to Him, you think the devil's going to go near Him? He has bad memories of what happened when Jesus was resurrected from that grave. And we have the opportunity to continue to enforce and create more bad memories for Him. So He wants us even closer. I would say He wants us closer to that fire of His power, that fire that we see coming down from heaven. Now, isn't this exactly, do you remember the account? In fact, we're going to look at it in just a second, but let me go ahead and say this. Do you remember the account of the man who was carried by his four crazy friends that let him down through the roof? What were they trying to do? They could have said, well, we're outside. Maybe the power will flow out here. No, they weren't satisfied. They wanted to get as close to the Master as they could. And that's why they took Him up and dropped Him there. So let me just stop there. And I want to go back here to the book of James and finish what we were looking at as we come close to Him. Now in James, we were reading, and we started in chapter 5, and we were reading down. We had finished 8. Look down at verse 10. It says, humble yourselves. Now, really, that's where this started, isn't it? In verse 6, because he jealously desires us in verse 5, the first thing he talks about is humbling ourselves, having humility. And here he says, humble yourselves. And when we do that, where are we moving toward? Where are we taken to? In the presence of God. Now, this next phrase is what the Lord has shown me today as well for us. And it says, and he will exalt you. Now, how many of us have applied this to things related to work or to relationships with people? And that's not inappropriate. If we're humble in what we're doing, we should expect the Lord to give us promotion, to exalt us. But what I have written in my Bible here, and what I've been just drawn to and can't get it out of my mind, is where it says, and he will exalt you. And so this is not just before men. But where is he exalting us to? He's lifting us up to himself. We don't have the ability to go to him without what Jesus has done. So I want you to see, he's lifted us up near him, and then he is continuing to move us closer to himself as we stand humble before him, acknowledging his strength, his power. Now, how do we draw near? Well, let's go back and look at Jesus. And I think we get a great example of this in Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. So, Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. In 15, talking about Jesus. And this is the view I want us to have of how close we can get. Because remember, Jesus said, same and greater. So I want us to begin to see ourselves here in 15 before we look at 16. The news about him was spreading even further, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be healed. And that's what we ought to be doing. That's our charge in the last chapter of the book of Mark. But look at verse 16. He himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Now, what had Jesus done? When he was a child, he said to his parents when they lost him in the temple, don't you know that I'm about my father's business? I'm about the family business, the kingdom business. He had prepared himself with the word, but he didn't stop with just the word. He wanted to do what? Honor his father, spend time with his father, have relationship with his father, speak to his father. More importantly, I believe, hear from his father. In other words, he was continually doing what? Drawing nearer and nearer. Going to that throne where his father dwelt, where he had come from. Now, it's interesting to me that these two verses, drawing near, Jesus doing this through this, and how much if he needed to do it, does it say about us needing to? Right after this is in verse 17 through 19. Where he was teaching, Jesus was teaching to the Pharisees, and it says power was there. And this is where those four crazy friends of this man brought him to and led him down in. So it's just another tie to me that the Lord gives us in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit shows us, when you draw near, the power will flow. And it's important. The power was already present to heal, and they just let him down into that power. They allowed him to draw close to Jesus. And they did it with what? A heart of faith. So they did it not just with him physically letting him down. They did it with confidence that when he got near that power, when he got near the Master, things were going to change. Power that made his healing possible. So let's continue on with our invitation to come close. Look at Revelation. The fourth chapter. And I want to look at the first verse. Now, this is John. He's just had this vision. He's seen Jesus. He actually says he turned to see the voice. And so he has received from them instructions to write to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. And here in verse 4, John says, After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Now just think about that phrase. A door standing open in heaven. Now, what does an open door do? It's an invitation for us to come through it. And it's already open. It's not something you have to earn. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet, which was the Lord, speaking with me, said, come up here. And he goes on and says, and I will show you what must take place after these things. But the part I want to focus on is, come up here. In other words, come see me face to face. It's an open door. Can I say that one more time? He says, I want you to see things from my perspective. It's an open door. Come on through it and see how my words apply to your life. See how I view you. And as we get closer to Him and see Him in us, then that strengthens us today. And then look, though, at what just precedes this in verse 19 of the third chapter. And this is when he's talking to John about the church at Laodicea. And in verse 19, he says, the Lord speaking, has John record this, those whom I love. So you can say, that's me. Agreed? So we know, because it says he's talking to the church. We know because you know your love that he's talking to us today. Those whom I love, I do what? I reprove and discipline. Now, we've talked about receiving correction and instruction in this study before, and how what? We ought not despise it. We ought to look to it. And so look what he says. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore. Now, zealous means you're just sold out in your heart toward Him. So he's telling us, be zealous and in receiving that correction. And then repent. Now, repent in Scripture is an interesting word, because what does it mean? To turn from, but not just turn from, to what? To move toward. So you quit what you were doing to move toward doing things His way. Do you see that even this is talking about come near, draw near to me? And that's what this gift of repentance that we have allows us to do when we miss it. That's why we don't have to stay outside feeling condemnation, because he's told us, draw near. Verse 20 then says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, when you hear this talk, many times people are saying, this is a scripture that's talking about salvation. No, it's not. It's talking to believers. So he's standing at that door and he's knocking. He's knocking to where? To move that closer to you. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So he's talking about here our response to his beckoning us to do what? To move closer to him so that he can what? Come through that door and move closer to us. And look what he says. I will come to him. I will dine with him, and he with me. Nothing we do except open the door and allow him to come close. And then the very next phrase jumped out at me as I was preparing. In fact, I did not have it in my original notes. But in one of the reviews this past weekend when I was going through this, I added it in. Look at this first phrase. He who overcomes. So do you see what he's doing here with us? Moving us closer. And who is that that moves really close to him and receives more strength, receives more grace? It's us who overcomes. Praise God. Praise God. So how do we enter in then when we enter into his word to receive it? We get closer through his word. We get closer through fellowship with him, through praise and worship, prayer. And it goes back to what? We honor him. We desire to get so close that the words he breathes out that we hear is like his breath being spoken into us. You can't get away from this. This is how we honor him. Now, let me just say, You can't say, I love Jesus and I honor Jesus, without doing the same for His Word, because He and His Word are what? Are one. And so we can't just try to move closer in spirit, because the Word is what that provides that foundation and that faith to do it. Hebrews 4, verse 10, here in Hebrews 4. For the one who has entered into his rest, drawn near, I would say, has himself also rested from his works, as God did from him. So what do we see there? That this position of resting in him is allowing his strength to work for us instead of our own strength. And then jump down to verses 14 and 15. This is what we talked about earlier. We have a high priest who's passed through the heavens. Let us hold fast to what we say about our faith and our belief with him. Verse 15. This is the one that says, Jesus has been through what we do, what we are. He knows what we're going through. He can sympathize with you. And then it gets to verse 16. But let's back up to verse 10 before we read 16. So I want to read 10 and then 16. For the one who has entered his rest himself has himself also rested from his works. So we are resting from our works as we move into him. And then that verse 16 now, take it in the context of what we've talked about here. Let us therefore draw near with confidence. You can say with boldness the same word there. The same Greek word is translated confidence and boldness. Let us draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. That we may go and receive mercy. We'll be coming back to this verse in a study we do in the future here, not too far from now, about how we receive, how we take that mercy and find what? Grace to help. Because as we move closer in humility, what are we getting an increase of? More and more grace. Now, I want to look at a scripture that's not talking about us, but it makes a really key point. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. And this is talking about those who don't believe and what's going to happen to him. So this is not talking about you and I. And it talks about they're going to get judged when they don't believe the gospel in verse 8. And then verse 9 says, and they'll pay the penalty of eternal destruction. God's not sentencing them. They're making this choice. And look at what it says, how it describes this eternal destruction. Away from the presence of the Lord. So eternal destruction is being away from His presence. We have the opportunity to be what? Seated with Him in the heavenlies. Drawing near to Him. Now the reason I use this verse is you say, well, that makes sense, but let's finish it. So eternal destruction is being away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Isn't that what we're talking about here? Having His glory and His power manifest. One doesn't come without the other. Now you would say, well, gosh, that's where I want to be. Everybody ought to want to be there. But I'm going to tell you, that's not so. If you think about the children of Israel, in Exodus 19, the Lord said, I'm coming down to see you. And boy, did He come down to see us. And what happened? It scared them. Look with me after this happened in Exodus 20, verse 18. Exodus 20, verse 18. Now remember, they've been invited to draw near. And all the people, it says in 18, perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And you're going to understand more about what that smoke was and some other things. And when the people saw it, they did what? They trembled and they stood at a distance. They would not draw close. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself. Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But don't let God speak to us, for we will die. Now they were fearing, not moral reverence, but absolute fear. And Moses said to them, Don't be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, in order to prove to you who he is, and in order that the fear of him, the honor of him, that reverential awe of him, may remain in you, so you do not sin. But what happened? The people stood at a distance while Moses approached that thick cloud where God was. Now, do you remember in 2 Chronicles, and you can read this in chapter 5. I think we'll use chapter 7 today, the first four verses, just to read this as we wrap this up. This is when the temple was built. Chapter 5 talks about when they came in. Chapter 7 is talking about after Solomon's prayer. And look what it says. Fire came down from heaven, power, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now I want you to see, this glory filled the house. It was tangible, because what happened? The priests could not enter it. They couldn't penetrate into it. It was a tangible manifestation of the glory of God, and they couldn't enter because the glory had filled. And then all of a sudden, seeing the fire come down and the glory of God on the house, they bowed down and said, "Truly, he is good. His loving kindness endures forever." They are giving, and then they offered sacrifices, verse 4 says. What I want you to see is that we can give thanks for that glory and that power coming down before we see it today. Because we have that promise as we draw near to him. Notice the fire fell on the sacrifice. And we are what? To be living sacrifices to him. So we might say, "Lord, let your power fall on us," knowing that we're not going to be destroyed, because he wants us drawing near in heart. And he's not going to destroy the tabernacle where his heart is. Then the glory filled the temple. It manifested physically, which is what we're saying. We want to see your power and your glory manifest. And we're that temple. Now, what I want you to see here, I want you to go back all the way to Revelation 15 and the 8th verse. And I want to ask the question. I want you to see that with the glory came the power. So we would say, what was the smoke comprised of? What was when that fire and smoke was on the mountain, and when that cloud-like cover covered the temple? What is in that that looks like a cloud or looks like smoke? Revelation 15 verse 8 says, "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power." That's what he wants to happen to you and I, is that this temple gets so full of his glory and his power that it flows out through us for others. Yes, for us, but for others. And that's why I said earlier in this session, I want to be close to the glory of his power. I am not fearful about moving close to the fire. I want to be there. That just reminds me of the phrase, "The glory and the power" reminds me of "Thine is the kingdom, the what? The power and the glory." Saints, we're told to have faith in his power. And when we do, and as we draw nearer and nearer, feeding on his word, getting close to him through his word, understanding who he is, understanding this invitation to come closer, and when we do that in our hearts, then we're going to see that manifestation through us, his vessels here on the earth, so that our light shines bright. That really concludes this study on faith in his power, and yet it doesn't. Because in our next session, we're going to begin to talk about how all of this that we've been talking about comes to us because of his love. We're going to spend some time next week going through and looking at how much he loves us, our response of love to him, back to him, how we must have a love for ourselves. But the majority of this study in the following weeks, we're going to talk about how we position ourselves and what we do when we truly love our neighbor, love our enemies, and also love the brethren. Now, from there, after we do that, the Lord has given me this phrase, and I believe this is what we're going to be studying. We're going to be looking at Caleb, and then we'll take that into us today through Jesus and how he operated when Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." Even though there were giants on it, he said, "Give me this mountain." And we're going to see how we can take and just transpose that mountain from something evil to good, or we can take it and obliterate it. All because of his love. Because first we have faith in his power. Be blessed today. Look forward to seeing you again next week as we begin talking about all because of his love.